Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 2nd, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 72, the second paragraph that begins with, "This is perhaps difficult." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And we have Shelley E. reading the 12 steps, Jean J. reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Marcella M., Kathy Jo P., and Dawn B. The share ID for Sunday, December 1st, special edition, is 13,740. And for this morning's December 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,741. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. It's always nice to hear your voice on Monday morning. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley B. Okay, Jean J., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure thing. Jean J., Portland, Oregon. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jean J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 72, the second paragraph that begins with, "This is perhaps difficult." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Marcella M., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Marcella M., recovered in Boston, compulsive overeater. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wonder why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. In that sense, we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Marcella M., recovered compulsive overeater, I'm calling from Boston. So I was told that that's the reason why we don't see the fourth column of the fourth step. Because a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient, and it's also tied to the reason why there are innumerable forms to make amends. So the fourth column of the fourth step, we only see it described through the rest of the book, my role in all my resentments, right, and all my suffering. This step empowered me from being, before this step, I was like a flawless victim of people, places, and things and horrible circumstances. And once I saw my role in it, right, that gave me the possibility to do something about my misery. My fourth step was kind of like short because I have done a very thorough inventory in AA. My dear sponsor, Paula Dean, she told me, "I don't want to hear anything that you have worked beforehand. I just want to hear what's new and related to food." And OA, I found so many resentments against OA as a whole because I thought I had joined OA in 1985. And I had just taken. Demanded good service and never given back. As soon as I got recovered with my sponsor in a vision for you, I realized that if I live to be 120 years, I won't have time to pay back, you know, to give freely of so much that has been given to me in a vision for you and just like go and do service. constantly, because that's what it's right to do. And that's, I mean, it's just like a win-win situation for everybody. I stay recovered and abstinent, and then I bring to OA what I have found in a vision for you. So that has been my experience in this step. I also, where it says the self-appraisal, this is a disease that can only be self-diagnosed, but that's the extent of myself, right? Like the only thing that I can do by myself is to diagnose myself. Everything else, I need to do it with in the companionship of other people that know what I'm dealing with. The very last thing that I say is that I hope that you find inspiration and hope in knowing that 1,300 Spanish-speaking people are studying the same paragraph and following our steps. If you happen to believe that your individual abstinence or recovery is irrelevant, please take strength and power and hope and optimism in knowing that we're connected to one another all over the world. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marcella M. Okay, we're on page 72, the second paragraph. This is perhaps difficult, and who would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene J. Stacy J.
Was that Chrissy J?
Stacy J.
Donna Stacey B.
J. Donna B.
Irene B.
Irene, I got you.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And who came after Donna B?
Patty Tara? B.
Patty T.
D as in dog.
D, and who came after Patty?
Kara L.
Kara L, okay. We're going to stop there. So here's what I have. I have Irene B, Chrissy J, Stacy J. I think I got your initial right, Chrissy. If not, you can correct me. Donna B, Patty D, and Kara L. Okay, Irene, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B, a gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay, so doing the fourth and fifth step requires rigorous honesty. And my experience is that I tried really hard to be rigorously honest, because in therapy I was told that I was only as sick as my secret and that it was super crucial to be honest. So I did my very, very best to be honest. And in order to be honest, I had to be in touch with myself. I had to be connected to myself. I had to be in touch with my feelings. Unfortunately, a lifetime of compulsive overeating since age 6 and bulimic since age 18 until age 58, I was very good at what I did in numbing myself out and totally disconnecting from self by eating, binging, later on purging, and throughout life actually daydreaming. I didn't realize I did this until recently. I learned that was another very powerful tool for me to disconnect from feeling my feelings. And in order to be honest, I had to be in touch with who I was. And I have 32 months of abstinence by the grace of God. Give credit where credit is due. God did this for me. He really, really did. There's a story there. But so even though I haven't been binging and purging, I just could not reach myself because I buried what's deep inside of me so, so deep that I could not be reached. So that requirement that I be honest, I don't care how hard I tried, I couldn't do it because it's taken 30 months of 32 months of abstinence to throw out and see what all there is there. I couldn't see what was there because of that thick layer that needed to throw out. And it was cloudy, muddy, murky water that had frozen over all of my character defects and all the things that I had done. I just couldn't see it. And Okay, I have to pass. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, Irene B. All right, Chrissy J, you're up next, followed by Stacy J. Did I get your initial right, Chrissy? Star one to unmute. Chrissy? Thought I heard a Chrissy. Okay, so let's go with Stacy J. Maybe I heard the J.
Thank you very much. This is Stacy J., compulsive overeater and food addict in Toronto. I now have 79 days of abstinence after years of relapse and just completed step 12. So this would be the first time I would call myself recovered, which is radical. And having just recently done my fourth step, when I was discussing my fourth step and then doing my fifth step with my sponsor, I was going through all the things I had written in my inventory. And then as we were doing it, my sponsor was sharing, he was relating things he had done to, and as well. And it helped me to trust that we're both flawed human beings, you know, that are honestly trying to kind of right the wrongs and share, you know, not hold anything back. And so what happened is there was a dishonesty that I hadn't put on my inventory because no, I couldn't see that anyone had been harmed. I didn't have, at least I hadn't identified a fear associated with it, but it came to me, I have to share this thing because I was fully planning on taking this dishonesty, this particular thing, to my grave. And I suddenly thought, I have to share this. And I did. And that thing was the thing I would have held back. And it was a huge relief to share it. And at the end, it was quite exhilarating because I felt like I have truly held nothing back here. And my sponsor was very understanding. Again, shared something kind of similar that he related to. And so at the end of that process, I really felt, I felt a huge relief. And I, having now this abstinence and like a neutrality with food that I have maybe never felt, I can see that what this chapter outlines is that we have to go much further. I had to even go much further than just simply doing what was listed there of fears and harms and resentments. That being said, I don't want to suggest that this process took a long time. In the past, I would have taken a very long time and have written months and months. This, you know, my fourth step took me 2 weeks. So I do think expediency is important, at least for me. Because my food addiction is very aggressive. But I am. I don't know why I'm abstinent, but I did what this chapter in this book outlined and am peaceful with food. So I think it's amazing to follow these instructions and experience the freedom that it brings. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stacy J. Okay, Donna B., you're up next, followed by Patty D.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Because of where I am in my journey of recovery, this paragraph has me thinking more about step 10 than necessarily about steps 4 and 5. In my experience, step 10 is living in steps 4 through 9 over and over and over again whenever any disturbance comes to the surface. I'm very diligent about step 10 and believe in it entirely and completely and surrender to that process on a nearly daily basis. And I want to talk just briefly about the difficulty of discussing my defects with another person. And the experience that I've had recently is that as I get deeper and deeper into my own defects of character, my own pathology, and really to the root and to the core of what drove me to my compulsive behavior with food and other substances and behaviors, I find that who I share my inventory with, who I connect with on my 10th step, becomes really important, not only for me to feel safe and protected, but also to feel that the person who I am seeking guidance from is also in a position to see me, to hear me, and to continually turn me back to my higher power, to the wisdom that is in the big book, and if necessary, to the advice of a professional. More and more over the recent weeks, especially, I've been struggling with the awareness that all of us in the rooms are sick. And it's easy for me to put people on pedestals and to believe that their guidance is always accurate, always true, always God-given, always inspired by their higher power. And what I find is that it's easy for us to hurt each other in the room.
Time, please.
And that's only because we are all sick. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Patty D., you're up next, followed by Kara L.
Hi, this is Patty D., gratefully recovered in Matthews, North Carolina. What I was thinking when we read this paragraph this morning was similar to what Donna just shared, in that even though I felt a great release when I did my fourth step and shared it, both the first and the second time that I had to do that, I think my doing my 10th step regularly is what keeps me recovered, because even when I just kind of look at my resentments in my own mind or my fears, it's not the same as when I share it with someone else. And there's been so many times when I do share those things with another fellow and they're able to say something to me that I don't see myself. Either, have you considered this? Or when I look at a fear and I listen to what my higher power would have me be, I've had the fortune of having another fellow say, well, you know, I've had my higher power say this to me in a fear. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't. Yeah, that's also something I feel as well, but hadn't really explored. So I think the beauty of sharing with another is the insight that we can have that we don't have with just self-reflection. And I also have had the terrible example that I've shared on the line of my ex-husband who was in OA and then felt he could do it on his own, quit the fellowship, and passed away 2 years ago from the disease at the age of 59. So I know how critical it is to stay in touch with our fellows. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, before we take Kara, just a reminder, we're on page 72, the second paragraph that begins with this is perhaps difficult. And I'll be taking some more names after Kara. So go ahead, please, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I'm so happy to be on the phone with my fellows this morning. just checking in and saying I'm here made me feel part of the meeting. So thank you, everyone. I am struck, you know, it's funny, I was sitting here and I was like, I got to go get a pen because I need more to underline in here. For some reason, I haven't underlined this paragraph, which is just amazing studying it, you know, one paragraph a day with my fellows, new things jump out at me. And the first thing is, you know, in practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. And yeah, I mean, even today, we covered having worked my fourth step and uncovering. And when I did my fourth step, there was one thing I was holding on to, even at the very end of my fifth step, that I didn't want to tell my sponsor. And I was just like, you're not going to get recovery unless you do. And I did. And she laughed and she had done it too. And I'm so glad. It just freed me. And when I did this fourth step this time, I asked my higher power, if it came into my head, it went on the fourth step. That was just it. I just kept asking for insight and I put it down. It even helps, even if it's insignificant, I put it down. I just wanted it all out this time around. And I love this, that, you know, Bill gives us, this is the best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. It's right there. I don't know why I just put a star by it in my book. And I was like, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. And today, as a recovered individual, how do I have to work my step 10. And I can't just say something pops into my mind. And today I say, thank you, God, for showing me that old resentment that I need to work on and I forgot about. Thank you, God, that, you know, I'm disturbed by this because it gives me an opportunity to work it out. And sometimes I can just pray and it goes. Sometimes, you know, I write out a step and I call a person individually. Sometimes I wait until I have my 10-step partner. Sometimes I'm like, this is really disturbing me. So I get pen to paper because a lot of times I use my phone and my app to write out my 10 steps. But sometimes if it's really disturbing me, I get hand-penned paper and write it out on my sheets because it just needs that. And today I'm no longer willing to shove them down. I'm no longer willing to live in that pain of being found out. Today I just want my higher power's guidance in everything. What should I eat? What should I wear today? I don't want the responsibility of trying to drive my life anymore. And
I'm pleased.
I'm so grateful. Yeah, I'm so grateful. So with that, I will pass. Thank you all. I look forward to hearing from everyone else.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, who else would like to share on the second paragraph on page 72?
Sherry
KB.
Sherry KB.
Shelley C.
Jennifer
R.
N.
Julianne
Shelley.
D.
Okay, wait.
Darian K.
Shelley. Who was Shelley? Shelley who?
Shelley C. R.
Shelley C. R. And I got Julie. What was your initials, Julie?
Julianne G.
Julianne G.
Yes.
Okay.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Darian K.
And Darian K. Okay, let's stop there. And I'm sorry if I missed anybody. Leah, I could have sworn you came in on that first lineup and I didn't have your name in there. So I have Leah S., Sherry KB, Shelley CR, Julianne G., Deborah G., and Darian K. So go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much. It's okay.
Maybe
you.
That's
this
who
is...
I thought was Chrissy.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's
sorry,
fine.
Go ahead.
Leah S., very, very grateful and recovered in Brooklyn. I'm going to just read one paragraph. But they had not learned enough of humility. Wow, fearlessness and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all of their life story. So, you know, guys, I was embarrassed about stuff that I had done. That's why I kept it secret. That's why I didn't want you to know. You know, God knows everything. So I finally came to the conclusion God knows everything, you know, about me. So what's the big deal? Why do I have to say it to another person? That's the most humiliating thing that I could ever do. I don't want you to know what I did. I absolutely don't want you to find out who Leah really is. Oh, my God. You're going to think I'm this, I don't know what, you know. And, you know, the big book uses the word, the expression, our self-centeredness has to be smashed. That's a pretty, pretty rough, intense kind of word, you know, smashed. Well, I had to learn true humility that it's okay whether I'm going to be judged or not going to be judged. And the reason I
Leah, we lost you. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so let me go on. So, you know, people are people, and I was afraid of being judged. But what happened was, what sustained me to be able to admit was the fact that God is with me. He approves of me continuing to function as a human being. And he's going to approve of me wanting to better myself and not damage myself, not physically and not emotionally. And that's what kept me on and kept me and told me, go ahead, Leah, and admit everything. It's okay because nobody can judge you. It's really what you really want. You want to better yourself. You don't want to do harm to yourself anymore. You don't want to do any damage, not physically and not emotionally. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. Okay, Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Shelley CR.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you, Team Monday. This is a really serious paragraph here to me. It's like directions here. It's telling me that if I want to continue staying in recovery and then become recovered, because I'm not recovered yet, that I must follow these directions. And it's telling me, it's giving me a warning here, and there are warnings in this book, and this is one of them, that if I skip this vital step and I don't tell another person to myself, my higher power, and another person, I'm bound to be face down in the food again. And so what I do know so far is that what I've learned is that because I've connected with a power greater than myself in step 2 and 3, admitted my powerlessness, you know, done step 4, I've connected with a higher power that is going to walk me through everything. I can rely on that higher power, and I have. So I know that my higher power picks the right person for me to give my fifth step to and to tell that person everything that is going on that's happened in my life. And if you read page 124, I won't read it now because there's other things I want to say, but if you read page 124, it helped so much because what maybe I have done that could help somebody else, that's the important piece. Sometimes the things that I've done in my past that other people have done, when I admit it, it's easier for them to admit it. And it's amazing what happens. I had this experience once where this person called me and said, I need to tell you something that I did, and I'm not sure I want to tell my sponsor or admit it, but I need to admit it to somebody. And, you know, and then I said, let's read page 124 together. And, you know, what happened was this person ended up getting a sponsee that the same thing happened to her, and what a gift she was to that sponsee. So it's not only just about us. For me, it's not just about this. It's not just about my humility, my fearlessness, and my honesty. But in all of this, you know, some of my worst character defects can help somebody else. That I do know, and that I know if I want to be happy, abstinent, happily, and contently, and neutral around the food, and with God's help, all of this is with God's help, I don't have to be face down in the food anymore. And I'm just going to tell you that to listen to a Sunday special edition from November 6, 2016. That will be helpful. And I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Shelley CR, you're up next, followed by Julianne G.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley CR, recovering and snowed in northern Minnesota. And so I am grateful that I'm able to be here for this meeting. I'm normally not able to make it, but, you know, being snowed in has its benefits. So in reading this paragraph, it dawned on me that while doing the fifth step, when I did my fifth step before with my sponsor, there were lots of things that I didn't want to say. And to have an experience where someone is there and is able to listen and there's no judgment, and it's a pure form of acceptance. And some of the things she could relate to, and some maybe she couldn't, but it's that part for me of having like this feeling of unconditional love, and in sharing it with another person, that gave me a different experience from what I experienced as a child growing up, and kind of what my lens through which I looked at the world was that people would be judging me. And so I therefore kept things hidden and kept things secret. And so having that experience and going through the fifth step with my sponsor, and I'm currently on step four again, and I will be doing another fifth step in the not-too-distant future. But I also realized that it broadened my relationships with other people, even outside of the program. And so prior, I had had, you know, relationships with friends, and they tended to be pretty superficial. And it wasn't until this program that I recognized that this is something that when I was willing to share deeper things, when I was really willing to share how I felt about certain situations or things that I had done that I wasn't proud of, I was able to share that with other people even outside of the program. And then this weird thing happened where then they kind of shared some things. And that happened with some people. And then with other people, I found that that relationship could not go any deeper. They weren't in a place to be able to do that at that time. And that's okay too. But it also let me know kind of where things were within the relationship and where I wanted to put my energies and having connection with other people in my life. It just let me know kind of where to put that energy. And so this program is always amazing because it broadens so much. And, you know, the steps are for my individual self and how I move through the world and how I relate to others and my connection with my higher power. And the traditions I think about, like with family and how that relates, and maybe work situations and whatnot. But this program just really broadens to every aspect of my life. And the fifth step has done that. And it has helped me overcome the fear, as it talks about, you know, learning of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. And it's helped me with practicing overcoming those fears and turning them over to my higher power, letting them go. And having honest relationships with others. So thank you very much, and grateful to be here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley CR. Okay, Julianne G., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Julianne G. from Ohio. I'm glad to be on this meeting today, and it's nice to share. And there's been a lot of good shares today. What I can relate to is my fourth and fifth step experiences. So originally, and I've done another one since, but I shared mine with my sponsor. I tried sharing it with a priest, but he was a priest that didn't understand fifth steps, so I had to reshare part of it with most of it with my sponsor. Well, I mean, I had to reshare what I shared with him because it didn't really count. So I shared with someone who understood fifth steps. And I was really afraid of what my sponsor would think of me. But I knew I had to do it. And she was very kind. But she was also like, you know, trying to to help me like identify a pattern of my character defects. So it was effective. And I started, it was a good process for me because it helped me see that I really was self-centered. Because I kind of knew that, but I had confirmation. You know, I shared my stuff with another person, and it was like, okay, you can't hide that you have a problem. And that's why you're eating. You know, you have a self-centered character and character defects. And then also I was able to let go of some things that were, because I was resentful at everybody I knew. But I was able to let go of like the really minor ones. And in time, some issues that kept reoccurring for me, I was able to write on them again later on and pray for forgiveness for my part and acceptance and for God to help me to do what he would have me do, like whatever it was in that situation I'd talk about with my sponsor. So some things I, because of that fifth step, I could understand, you know, some things that I, that were kind of deeper issues for me. But I'm just grateful. And I don't know if anybody said time yet. It's kind of, I have this on speakerphone, but I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Julianne G. I didn't say time, but your timing was perfect. Okay, Deborah G., you are up next, followed by Darian K.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for your service and everyone that has made this meeting possible. I'm Deborah, recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, I was just thinking a lot of good things have been shared. And one of the things that came to me was that when I was able to share whatever deep, dark cranny, everything with me, with another person, it released that shame. And it released that shame. I was able to share the things I shared with her at meetings. And it was amazing how many people nodded and had done the same things. And I also was able to share it in a lighter, humorous way through the years, making it light and humorous so that it's not such a big, dark thing, you know. And I think it brought me closer to people, you know, in that whole circle of humanity, you know. And, you know, some people can do these things and not talk about them, you know, but I can't, you know. That's something that I need to do and get free, because it's like, either do I want freedom or do I want bondage? You know, do I want life or death, or do I want abstinence and a new way of living? You know, I'm just so grateful for this program and grateful for that source, that power in step two that helps me to do the things that I do, because I cannot do them on my own. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Darian K., it is your turn. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, this is Darian K. from the Berkshires, also snowed in and grateful to be lying in my bed listening to you all. I'm so grateful to hear you, Kathleen. I remember you from the summertime and we did Mondays together, and you're still there. Wonderful, wonderful. So I just wanted to share a couple of things. The first thing I remember, and it was interesting, actually, I didn't remember at the time. So I just recently took a fifth step from a sponsee. And I asked my sponsor, you know, what are some tips? What are some things I can do? Because, of course, when you're doing it, you're not really paying attention to those things. And the one thing she said to me was, remember when I said to you that you don't have to convince me that you're a good person. I already care about you. And you'll probably tell me things that, you know, that or that we have in common, that we've done, or that I've heard before. So, you know, don't feel like afraid that, you know, I'll judge you. And that was so helpful. And when she said it to me, I kind of remembered that she had said it to me, if that makes any sense, because I was so nervous at the time giving it away. And so I did that with my sponsee. And you know, and I feel like that, to me, is so important that we show that we are caring and loving and that we are going to, you know, be there for that person 100% and not abandon them, you know, and that we'll have words of kindness because people have already beaten themselves up enough. I did anyway. Nice giant bat, big hard bat hit in my head. So that being said, the other thing I thought of is that, you know, when I was doing Weight Watchers and Diet Workshop and we would bring those papers back with the written stuff that we ate, that was all a big lie. And that was almost the first time I did like writing about my food, right? So, you know, this program is so different. You know, it helps us to dig deep, much deeper than the food, right? And to be honest and to look at those things that we've kept deep down inside, those lies of omission, which are the biggest for me. If I don't tell you, maybe it didn't really happen, or if you, you know, don't ask, don't tell, right? So that is the stuff that I needed to dig up, and that is the stuff I needed to be honest about. And, you know, and today I am so grateful that I could be honest, you know, with another person. It just gave me freedom. And, you know, I've heard all of you say, how free do you want to be? And today I want to be free. I want to be free of the food. I want to be free of selfishness and just, you know, be able to help others. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Darian Kay. That was perfect timing, too, right on the button. Okay, we have time for a two-minute share. Would anyone like to take it?
Kathy Jo P.
Okay, Kathy Jo P., go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. The two things I want to share is, sharing myself with you, knowing that even forgetting and trying to remember that we are all indeed sick in August. And it took me a while. I don't even know if I've shared this on the line yet, but to share it with a few fellows. But I was driving in the car with my 18-year-old son. Remember, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I texted someone that I know I would remain accountable to. And my son was driving and we were arguing. And I texted and I said, I am committed not to punch Charlie. I really wanted to punch him. The minute I said that, it was like a desire for a Twinkie going away. And since that day, I've not had that desire. This weekend, I did a 10-step last night. And I was so scared to tell my 10-step partner that my cousin said I was controlling and dominated the conversation at our lunch. And now I said it again to my train partner this morning, and I'm telling you all, I dominated a conversation at lunch this weekend. So I'm still working and growing, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. And thank you, everyone, for your heartfelt shares this morning. Step four is not easy, but you've all made it feel really safe. For me, anyway, and hopefully everyone else on the line who's going to go there with their fifth step and do their fourth step. So, and thank you to the fabulous Team Monday, Shelly E., Jean J., Marcella M., Kathy Jo P., Dawn B., Mo H., and Reggie O. And we are now going to close with the Serenity Prayer, but do stay on the line after so we can meet newcomers and hear important announcements. So please press star one to unmute your phone and we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. God. I forgot a vision for you. I was going off my head because my notes got a little buried here. So, Kathy Jo P., would you please do a vision for you?
You betcha. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past, your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.